the Reformation began. On that day, 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the castle church door at Wittenberg in Germany. Now, we've blue-tacked those same 95 Theses to the door over there, in case you're wondering what on earth those things are. They are what Martin Luther wrote 500 years ago and nailed to that door. And in those theses, he began to question some of the Roman Catholic teaching at the time. And particularly, he was concerned about what was called indulgences, where you could pay some money to the church and that would sort of help you or others get out of purgatory or wherever and get into heaven. He thought, that's not what the Bible says. And he began protesting on that day. Others began protesting as well. And that's where we get the word Protestants or Protestants. And they were protesting about the wrong teaching about how to be saved, how to escape God's judgment and be forgiven. Now, the Reformation began with Luther, and that was continued with people like John Calvin and Huldrych Zwingli. And basically, the point of the Reformation was this, and what these guys did was this. They said, we've got to get back to what the Bible actually says. We've got to go back to the sources. And lots of other areas were doing the same thing, back to the sources, back to the original. They wanted people to get back to the true gospel, the true word of God. Get back to what Christianity was all about. Get back to the sources. And humanly speaking, we are the descendants of this Reformation. Humanly speaking, we believe what we do today because of what those guys did 500 years ago. The same message they rediscovered and taught is the same message that we believe and teach today. And what emerged from all this were five slogans or five solas. And these go right to the heart of Christianity. And to help us remember these, think of solar panels. Now, I've got a picture here of solar panels. Okay. Now the word sola, S-O-L-A, is a Latin word meaning only or alone. And there are five solas. This is the five solar panels of the Reformation. And the first was sola gratia, which means grace alone. Next solar panel is soli deo gloria. Now, I apologize to any Latin people here or Latin scholars. I know that's not the right way to say it, but you get the point. Soli Deo Gloria. That means to the glory of God alone. Next one, Solus Christus. Christ alone is the Lord and Saviour. Sola Scriptura. Scriptura. Bible alone. And the last one, Sola Fide. Faith alone. Now, today and the next three sermons are going to be on these five solar panels. And the two today we're looking at is Sola Gratia and Soli Deo Gloria. And with these two and the other solas, that changed Christianity at the time. And it also changed the world at the time and since then as well. See, at this moment, the true gospel was rediscovered and has been spreading ever since. Up until at that time, the world was in darkness. There were false gospels being preached, like had happened that first reading from Jeremiah. There were false gospels in false messages in the time of Jeremiah the prophet. There were false gospels around 500 years ago as well, and before that. The true gospel was rediscovered, and we are the benefactors of that. And like I said, today we're looking at these first two, Sola Gratia and Soli Deo Gloria. And they go together. And it shows us that Christianity begins with God and Christianity ends with God as well. And grace and glory alone come together in Galatians chapter 1, actually in the whole book of Galatians. So if you've got your Bible there, please turn to Galatians chapter 1. If you haven't got a Bible, that's okay. It'll come up on the screen now. Here we have the Apostle Paul. He introduces himself. He's the apostle, the one sent from God. And the last bit of verse 2. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, we've got to get a sense of the passion here that the Apostle Paul is speaking or writing with. It's been described as he's writing with a white hot pen. If you read other parts of the Bible that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote, he normally begins with, "Hi, how are you? I thank God for you." None of that here. He's really, 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 really angry. He's really upset. Why? Because everything's at stake. They're losing the one true gospel. See what's been happening? See the points highlighted there. They're deserting grace, which is really no gospel at all. If you keep reading there, he says, let those who preach that other gospel be cursed forever. There are big consequences for those who both believe the true gospel, the wrong gospel, and preach the wrong gospel. See, there is no other gospel. It is grace alone. And if you look back at verses 3 and 4, it tells us what that grace is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. That reminds us what grace is. Grace is God's undeserved favor. Grace is Jesus giving himself for our sin. He gave himself for us, the ones who don't deserve it. He gave himself for us, the ones who weren't asking for help. Grace is Jesus dying in our place, taking the penalty for our sin. Grace is all about God the Father taking first steps to us. See, we weren't calling out to God, please help us, we're in trouble. No, we were just going our own way, living our own lives. And as Galatians talks about, describes it this way, we were prisoners of sin, cursed under God's judgment. But wonderfully, Jesus came and gave his life for us. And what the Apostle is so stressed and distressed about, is their turning from that one gospel that can save, turning back to God's judgment again. If you read through Galatians, they're turning back to being prisoners again of sin. See, everything was at stake. They were going back. And the apostle says, how can you do that? Don't do that. But a question worth asking is this. Well, why is it that way? Why is it that grace alone saves? Look at verse 11 in Galatians chapter 1. It says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. See, the Apostle Paul has not made this up. The Apostle Paul didn't receive it from any other human. He received it from the God-human, the God-man, the risen Christ himself. And at that moment, he understood when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. You read it in Acts chapter 9. Jesus appeared to Saul. See, up to that moment, Saul thought that Jesus was cursed. He knew about Jesus, the so-called Messiah. But to him, he was cursed because he had died on a cross. He'd hung on a tree. Deuteronomy says, "Cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree." So in Saul's mind, Jesus was under God's judgment. But then, the risen Jesus appears to Saul. And that caused a radical change in his thinking. Because if Jesus is alive, he's conquered death, then what's happening? He can't have died for his own sin. He must have died for others' sins. He must have died in the place of others. A radical change in his thinking at that moment. He understood God's grace. And it was grace alone that saves. That grace of Jesus giving himself for our sin. See, grace alone saves because that is the gospel that's been revealed to Paul, that was revealed to Saul at the time. Grace alone saves because, as the book of Galatians goes on to say, we're all cursed. We can't free ourselves from our sin. It is an offense to God to say, as some people do, "Oh, I'm a good person, I think I'll get there in the end." That doesn't see how serious sin is and doesn't realize how holy God is. Jesus is the only one that can free us. We can't do it ourselves. Just like you cannot pick yourself up in a bucket. Ever tried that? This actually is the beginning of a video, and I think this is a newbie at this particular work situation. You know, when you first start a job, you're the newbie, they play tricks on you. It's like to the apprentice painter, "Go and find the striped paint or the left-handed screwdriver." They're having a go. This is we're not going to show the video, but this is someone trying to pick themselves up in a bucket. You can't do it, can you? It's impossible. In the same way, it is impossible for us to free ourselves from our sin. We need someone to do it for us, and wonderfully Jesus has. But in Galatia, and also happens today, there were people coming with a different gospel. Verse 7 says, in Galatians 1, some people were throwing the Galatians into confusion with a different gospel. And that gospel in Galatians they were trying to preach was this: you've got to be a Jew to be saved. You've got to obey the Old Testament law to be a true Christian. In other words, their gospel was, save yourself and you can do it. You can save yourself. And a lot of people think that, even today. Maybe you still do this morning. If you're a good person, then God will accept you. Not perfect, but not too bad. But the Apostle Paul would have none of that. And so must we. That gospel doesn't work. It is grace alone that saves. And so beware. Beware of any teaching which says that we contribute in anything to being accepted by God. That's what got Martin Luther going. That's what got the Apostle Paul going. And that is what should get us going as well. And so, for example, beware of the Buddhist Eightfold Path. Beware of the Hindu doctrine of karma. Beware of the Jewish way of obeying the law. Beware of the Muslim code of law. Beware of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons that say you can do it yourself. And also, brothers and sisters, we've got to be aware of pride in our own hearts. I think the longer we are Christians, the temptation can be to think, "Oh, I've become a pretty good person. I'm better than those other scum out there. Oh, that's why God accepts me." We've got to beware of pride. to think we have contributed or do contribute anything to be accepted by God. Beware of pride, but also beware of pessimism. Beware of thinking, oh, you know what? I've just gone too far this time. I've sinned too much. How can God love me with what I've done? How can God love me with what I'm doing? Well, remember, he does. He loves us exactly where we are, accepts us exactly where we are. Never think we've gone too far for God. Never think he won't accept you. He always will. And that's because he accepts us not on the basis of what we have done or do or haven't done. He accepts us only because of his wonderful grace, what he's done for us. So beware of pride, but also beware of pessimism. Because it's actually a good place to always remember we contribute nothing. We only accept what's been given. That's the first solar panel, solar gratia. And how does that relate to the next one? Look at verse 3 again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. That's God's grace. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, salvation, being accepted by God, is all by God's grace alone. So who should get the praise? Only God. That's how these things work. So there's no place for boasting in ourselves. No place for boasting in our churches, in our church. We contribute nothing. Zip, zero, zilch. It is glory to God alone because it is by God's grace alone. So that's our first solar panels. Now, to help reinforce this, there's a song by Bob Dylan I'd like us to look at. It's called Saved. Now, I will not try to sing it, but here are the words to part of the song. I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. Now, of course, there's poetic license. He didn't literally step out of his mother's womb, but you get the idea. Stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By grace I have been touched. By his word I have been healed. By his hand I've been delivered. By his spirit I've been sealed. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's a great line, isn't it? Like that's great words. But particularly notice that line where it says, by his grace I have been touched. By grace alone have we been saved. Think back to when you first perhaps understood that it was by God's grace, how wonderful that was, and still how wonderful that is. And perhaps there might be some of us here this morning who've never known God's grace. Well, may that grace touch you this morning. May you know deep in your heart that you are loved by God, that Jesus has given himself for you. And each time we remember that, may that truth also touch our hearts. By grace alone have we been saved. Therefore, it is glory to God alone as well. See, salvation starts with God and it ends with God. Salvation is from him. Salvation, therefore, is for him. Nothing in ourselves, has all come from God and therefore all goes back to God in praise. May that be true of us today. May that truth sink deep into our hearts and minds today and always. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for your amazing grace that's been given to us. Father, thank you for that love shown in Jesus giving himself for our sins. And Father, in response, may all glory and praise go only to you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in response to hearing God's word, we're going to sing that it's only in the